the stats, the salt, the sanity, and every so often, they talk about sports, too.
Here is Eric Dorsch, Russ Ivanek, and Justin Marcus. This is Armchair Sports Talk.
Welcome into another episode of Armchair Sports Talk. The usual gang. We got Russ. We got Justin playing with his screen. By the way, we're going to talk about it at some point today, so we might as well talk about it early. Justin is now an actual fan of the NBA. He's watched The Last Dance. He's watched the documentaries. He can name five players on the NBA that no one's ever heard of. So we'll get to that. And then, of course, special guest. He's been making an appearance here lately. I'm a little excited. D.O. Pauly Rowe is with us today. How are we doing today, Pauly? Oh, doing great. I love that you chose to come on this
one. Doing wonderful.
Because we're
going to
spend about 30 minutes breaking down an NFL schedule. And I ask you honestly, when's the last time you watched a Lions football game?
It's been a while.
Justin has Michael Jordan as his background in his little camera, and he's proceeding to kiss Mike. He's doing what everybody else is doing. He's kissing up to Michael Jordan.
Would you say that you asked him to save The Last Dance for you?
Oh, he did. He did all right.
Those are the other two, Justin Marcus and Russ. At Russ, this one should be fun because we've always been wildly, wildly wrong in our schedule predictions of the Detroit Lions. Mm-hmm. So statistically, how would you say we're doing?
Bad.
Bad.
Bad. Not as bad as the Lions, though.
That's true. That is true. That is true. And I mentioned it a few minutes ago. I'll mention it again. Jay, you're now officially an NBA fan.
I have a crush on the NBA. You've heard that correctly.
So let me ask you now, because now that you have enough knowledge to be able to speak intelligently, and by that I mean you watched a basketball game one time, so clearly you're supposed to weigh in. Is Michael Jordan the greatest of all time?
Yeah. Based off of what I know now, which I didn't know about 2 weeks ago, which is a fuck ton. Yeah, there's just it between that, like watching the documentary you sent me on Bird and Magic and what MJ did at a different point in the game, it led the way for everything else that we know as our modern day basketball. So, and so many people are like annoyed with MJ. I love the man. I can't see a single thing he's done wrong, and I don't have any problems with Michael Jordan at all.
A single thing? You can't think of a single thing?
No, he's a very complex individual.
I'm sorry, Justin. Even
you said condescending weird.
Yeah. Complex. C-O-M-P.
Justin.
Asshole.
Justin, I don't want to hurt your feelings, but even Freud listened to that and said, "That's weird. That's a weird, weird take." So
I like MJ.
All right, well, we don't want to get too far off task. The Last Dance ends next week. We'll talk about it. Jay and I will have a great time going over it. Right now, we're going to talk about something that was mentioned last week, and it literally came out almost right after we got done doing the show. So it was kind of one of those things we couldn't pick up on. Our fearless leader, Jim Harbaugh, was quoted as saying, if you don't get drafted, you still have eligibility, you should be able to return to college. I kind of want to get your guys' take on this, see what you think. Paul, you've been in college for the last 37 years, so we're going to let you go first here and start this off for us. Do you agree with what Harbaugh said? Do you think that if they still have some eligibility, i.e. like sophomores and juniors and for college basketball, should they be able to come back? And what do we have to take away that you do now when you're entering a draft circumstance to be able to stay?
Yeah, sorry, that was kind of a little out there. So I think it's okay for them to come back for 1 year because, you know, there's nothing more heartbreaking than, you know, trying to get to that next step. You're eligible for that next step, but you're not as likely to get to that next step because, of course, such a low percentage even actually get to that point in their life, unfortunately. So, you know, they kind of end up having nothing to do with the sports they love. So they kind of reach the end of the road, they could always go the route of some others might go to maybe the CFL or maybe try to and play some like other amateur leagues and things like that. But you know, college might be the highlight of these guys' careers. So if you just throw them back in for at least like you know maybe just one more year, if they're coming back for you know if they would just be coming back for just like their senior year, absolutely let them come back. But if they're a senior, and maybe because I know that there are like fifth-year seniors that come in and still play and are not going to the pros, but okay. I should bring them back.
Mr. Patricia, what would your weigh-in be on this?
I'm getting, if you haven't noticed, and no one's going to know but the three of you, my backgrounds will coordinate with the topics we're talking about. So it's just new fun.
How does this have anything to do with Matt Patricia is what I need to know.
Because things that don't belong in the NFL.
Oh.
Unlike Patricia, though, I agree with Paul. I think there should be that open door policy. I see it no different than applying for a job and not getting said job. And going back to whatever market or, you know, reworking your resume, go back to school. That might even be a consequence or a benefit, rather, of this. That kids can probably go back to school and finish their degree while trying to beat out a redshirt freshman or any other person on you know, the roster. Some of the other things I like is this might, maybe if you allow this, eliminate the transfer portal. Make it a two-way road, but you have to stay within your highway. You can't jump off the freeway and hop on. You know I'm getting that. End the transfer portal. Allow to go back and forth. You know, go finish your degree. Maybe you're not cut out to be an NFL player. Go get your degree and use that as your tool to make money and provide for people in your life after the fact. And I don't think there's a shame. There's no shame going back and forth between the two. If you can't cut it in the NFL, go back to school. They should allow it. And maybe get rid of the transfer portal, which will help as well.
Okay, Rusty.
So I actually, to start with a point that Justin just made, the education part is a huge thing for me and leaving that opportunity up there. Because there's two things that I'm always going to be in favor of when it comes to college sports. Giving an avenue for an education and taking the power from the billionaires and giving them to the kids. This does both of these things. It seems like his main point was the possibility of earning a livelihood at an earlier age, right? That was a phrase he used a couple times here. So allowing a one and done, but also letting you come back if it doesn't work out, that gives them the power, that gives them the flexibility. What I'm concerned with about this, it's not so much that, hey, young kids are going out there because, hey, basketball, you can do this already. Hockey, you can do this already. Baseball, you can do this already, but no one really ever does. My concern is that this seems like a backdoor argument against actually paying the players, because this seems like you want to earn money earlier on. You think you can earn a paycheck? Cool. Go pro. Leave. And it's also pushing some of these players that may or may not be ready, but say you're on the fringe and a team takes a chance on you in a seventh round, you're screwed. You don't have anything. You might not even make it out of camp. Hopefully you can come back then, right, if the team doesn't already give away your spot. Something else Harbaugh had suggested was to increase the scholarship limit per year, which could help that. I think that has to come in with it, or else you'll have kids not getting paid with a stronger argument to not get paid and not have a spot. So if you don't have that security too, this is an empty measure. But I think it's better than what we got, so I'm good with it. You can keep the transfer portal too, man. I love free agents.
Oh, it's dirty. It's dirty in the college level, though.
Yeah, it's been dirty the whole time, but now instead of it being the sponsors and you know the backers and the coaches greasing their palms, the kids actually get something, which I'm fine. I can work a summer job when I'm in college, right? I can work a job while I'm in college. I did. It still let me do both. They can't right now, really. I mean, yeah, they can go work at Jimmy John's, but they can't use their skills. I could use my skills in college that I was developing. They can't.
True. It's fair. My two cents on this is I think it opens up a weird way of basically saying I think of it. I looked at it immediately from the basketball perspective. These one and dones, you can go. And you could have a really good season and you could give it a shot, but you could also get these guys that spend three straight years throwing their hat in the ring on the off chance that a team takes them. And that makes it really difficult on recruiting, because if you're someone that team is college team's counting on, they have to recruit to replace you. So it's not going to do them any good to recruit three more of you that they keep bringing in and don't need. And same with the football. It's a bad example because we know he'll get drafted, but like Trevor Lawrence, he's going to go to the NFL next year, even though he'll have 1 year of eligibility left. You have to be recruiting for the quarterback that's going to come after him. So if Trevor Lawrence goes for some strange reason, doesn't get drafted, which he will, you're bringing in a guy who was almost guaranteed you're going to replace Trevor, and then Trevor's back. Like we're not going to get rid of him. So I think it creates a little bit of a weird thing for that. And then the other thing is you can't hire an agent. Like if you're going to do this, you cannot hire an agent. But the problem is that screws you because you get these guys like we know the names that are going to go, but you get these guys like DeAndre Swift, who was very good and kind of was being overvalued early on, that he can't hire an agent. He can't do any endorsement deals. And then if he plummets in the draft, the amount of money he could have made off endorsement deals plummets too, because he didn't have an agent to lock it all in. So you can really hurt yourself with the money too, because you don't have a guy who's a professional at this marketing you to everybody, talking you up, getting you in the right ears of the right people.
They should just turn this into a business. Like that, all that's missing is to make money move hands, and all these things can be possible. It's dumb, in my opinion, but.
to Eric's point, part of Harbaugh's 3-point proposal was actually being able to consult with lawyers, contract lawyers, and agents, as long as the agents don't receive any compensation. So it helps a little bit with that. But we've seen for decades what happens when, well, you can't pay them, but I mean, dirty stuff still happens.
Well, my thing for
we'll pay your aunt, and your aunt will hold on to the money, and then when you go to the pros, oh, guess what? You have access to the Bank of America account now.
Well, and see,
they find loopholes.
All that leads to is agents like. Basically, it leads to a loophole of agents finding a way to pre-sign you. No agent's going to give you their 2 cents without knowing that you're going to sign with them, because then I can advise Paul, hey, Paul, you can't give me any money, and I legally can't talk to you, but because of this little wormhole we've created, I think you should go right now, because I know for a fact I've talked to 3 people in the Red Wings organization that are really looking for that left-handed center that really, you know, is good on the face-offs and physical in the play. But, oh, by the way, you need to sign some with me, because if you do go, I'd really like you to be in my stable. That can't happen. And that's what they're going to want. No agent's going to give their 2 cents to a guy with no return coming to them.
Right. Unless they do some kind of, like, public defender thing where you get to go see the guy in the getting suit and the choppy hair that's like, well, 3-year deal.
But I do agree that this does seem like a backdoor way to get rid of not paying players. I do agree with that, because it does. It basically says, hey, Justin, you had a great rookie season at State. Izzo's pretty stacked on guards that aren't going anywhere. Take a shot. Go in the draft. Worst case, you're the last pick in the draft. You're still drafted. And Jay literally –
I'll do it.
But I'm just saying, Jay could literally spend 3 years declaring for the draft. One, it screws up the program and gives them no ability to scout for new players, because you're also going to have a lot of kids not wanting to commit because, hey – we can look at our quarterback right here, Shea. If Shea had another year of eligibility, quarterbacks would be hard to bring in if this was real, because Shea was not likely to be a big draft, if drafted at all. So guys are going to deter of, well, they might have Shea Patterson back next year, and they're going to start Shea over anyone else that comes in, kind of thing. So it really does make recruiting very, very tough.
You're spot on with that. It would make – like they have a guaranteed revolving door. They know as soon as the asset leaves, they got to bring another one in. So you're spot on with that. But I also don't mind like that life's a bitch. Like you might get a job, and as soon as you get there, it might be completely different than what you signed up for, or it doesn't hit your skill set that you got an education for. Like part of me wants to just be like, fuck it. That's life. If like, what's the word that Harbaugh uses? A meritocracy? Because that's way too big to understand why you're drinking. That's what it creates, right?
Yeah, Russ, I want to get to you real quick, but one point I want to make to you, Jay, and this might open up something for Russ too. I think you also have to look at it from a fan perspective. Take these guys that we had in the draft this year from Michigan to Michigan State. Give them one more year of eligibility. If you're a guy, I want the guys I don't want on my team anymore to enter the draft so they can't come back. I don't want Shea coming back. Jay, you don't want Lewerke coming back.
If they're tanking
in college.
Well, you know what I mean though. Like there are those guys who I don't have a problem with you going, and I don't have a problem with you making. I don't want to see anyone ruin their life, obviously. But if Wilton Spate could have just gone and never came back, I would have been very, very happy with that. So, yeah. But Russ, over to you.
To this point, agreed. I think that we're getting a little blown out of proportion. There's about 225, 230 picks in the NFL draft. There's 125 D1 schools. So we're talking, on average, two players per team. Now, obviously, it's a lot more for some. Bama's going to turn out 10 guys in a draft. But for the most part, you know. It's not like you're looking at your starting quarterback and going, he might, maybe. Like, if he's going that late, it probably isn't breaking your back one way or the other. And he was probably should have been in a competition anyways the next year. So, like, Shea, for instance, right, goes undrafted. Would we have just been happy as Michigan fans walking it back the next year and just going, oh, yeah, Shea's got it unquestioned? Well, if you listen to the people this past season, it shouldn't have been unquestioned then. I don't think it's as big of a concern trying to replace him and getting the logjam going. I mean, it's college. You got like 90 scholarships. Everybody's job, unless you're the stud, everybody's job is constantly up for grabs and constantly trying to be replaced.
And if they lose,
you're only taking a few guys out.
And if they lose the job, they are still on campus and they can go get an education. So they get to land softly at least.
Yeah, and if you're not getting drafted, you probably need to work on the education part.
It's true. It's very true. All right. Well, Jay, you kind of geared me up for this with your background, so we might as well get right into it.
Last
week, Lions released their schedule for the upcoming season, assuming there's going to be a season. Fingers crossed. Right now, the most we have to look forward to is a skins match between Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, because that's all the sports we're going to get anytime soon. But assuming Botox Brady. Russ, you said it.
Is that real? Is that real right now?
I think that is really his reward to himself for making through a season.
Giselle's like, boom, boom. Hey, honey, come here. Bang, bang. And then they're off to the races.
Yeah, pretty much. It's killer. So we're going to do this and operate on the assumption that there will be an NFL season this year. We're going to get a full 16 games. So you know what? Might as well go through them. The way I figured, because I got to think there's going to be a lot of similarity here, I think we should just sweep across. Everybody will go through week by week. Everybody give their input. And at the end, we'll give our totals. So leading off, Week one, Chicago comes here, and I might as well be the one that starts it. I have the Lions getting a win. Week one against the Chicago Bears. I think that team is going to be about 4 or 5 weeks from having any clue what kind of team they are, because no matter what, there's going to be a new guy under center at quarterback, whether it is Nick Foles, whether it is player to be named later. And listen, we are a great example of the fact that Khalil Mack and that defense is going to be fantastic. But if you have no identity on offense, you're going to have a real hard time. So we'll see what happens with it. But I have them with the W. Russ, over to you.
Also a W for me. Only game in the first 4 weeks where the Lions are favored. But stop me if you've heard this. It's a Bears team with good defense and who knows on quarterback. That's what they've always been. And the Lions have won 9 of the last 11 against the Bears. Last time they lost was without Stafford. I'm assuming week one, he won't have gotten hurt yet. We should be good.
Lions getting the W. Jay, over to you.
Just the only win they're getting on the year. No, I'm just – that'd be terrible. This is a win. I have the same notes as you guys. Bears don't have a quarterback. You know, maybe Smokin' Jay wants to come back. Now he's fresh off that divorce. Who knows? But just like the Bears, they don't even know what they're doing. We're getting a win at home.
Smokin' Jay might need the money here pretty soon. Paul, over to you. Week one, Chicago Bears. Oh, okay. Well, tell you what, you can.
I unfortunately don't have too much. You can to have add a lot to add, and then I also have them winning that first game.
Week two, we head to Green Bay very early on in the year. Going to be weird not having a snowy game at the end of the season, but in Green Bay, week two, coming off a win.
I think it's going to be one of those unfortunate games because it always tends to happen against Green Bay in particular, where we have a chance and then we blow it.
Okay.
And I think it's going to happen in the second game. Paulie's got a loss. It's going to look good because it's going to come off our win
for the Lions in Green Bay. Jay, over to you.
Week two on the road against an early Rodgers, and I'm a firm believer that an early Rodgers is a slow Rodgers, and I've got them winning in week two. On the road in Lambeau, probably some decent weather, but we're going to start the year 2-0, hopefully.
Okay, I like it. I don't know. It might be early on, but I think we've got a little pattern going. So, Russ, I think you know you're next.
Well, I picked up on that. But I'll say every single year we do this, every single year I aim high. I aim too high. So I consciously made an effort to be more realistic with this and beat them down like they will beat me down.
Okay.
So I have a loss. 6.5-point dogs right now in Lambeau. Yes, they've won 3 of the last 4 in Lambeau. But with Patricia at the helm, they are 1-3-1 in road games prior to week 7. It's not good. Early in the season, they're bad on the road. I don't know if this pass defense is fixed. That's going to be the big question mark on the season. And until I'm sure about that, I'm taking Rodgers.
Okay.
Even if he's on the downside.
Loss for you. I'm kind of in the same boat as Jay. An early Rodgers is a Rodgers you kind of want to get after. But the other thing for me is I'm looking at this from the perspective of this is a Green Bay team that pretty much gave Rodgers his countdown clock to you have an expiration date with this team now. That's not going to go well for Rodgers. But the other thing they didn't do, they didn't get Rodgers anything new to help him. Listen, Davante Adams is Davante Adams. I can't take that away from them. Number 17 is still one of the biggest threats on a field when he steps on a field. Unfortunately, someone give me number 2 that he's throwing to that can take over a game. Oh, that's right.
Geronimo Allison. Oh,
that's right. He's
got
to throw it to himself to do this. Listen, they have a great run game. That's fantastic. I can promise you that Green Bay, having a Hall of Fame quarterback like Aaron Rodgers, wants to attack the Lions early, but unfortunately, they don't have the weapons to attack right now. Now, they're still off season. They can still maybe find a diamond in the rough somewhere, and we'll see what happens. But I just think lining up on that field week two, assuming everybody's playing healthy, we're doing all right, assuming that Bevel picks up where he left off with Stafford, I just think that we have enough offense. Yeah, I see you, Russ. I think that's enough. I think we have enough offense to do what we need to do in Green Bay. I have a win in Green Bay week two. Lions getting off to a 2-0 start on my book. A little more surprising, Lions getting off to a 2-0 start with Justin. That's a little horrible.
Oh, it's weird.
It's horrifying. There is a glitch in the Matrix, folks. All right, here we go. Weirder. Week three. Lions go two weeks in a row, not at home. Going to be a little interesting. But Lions head to Arizona where they take on Kyler Murray. Oh, and DeAndre Hopkins. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. They also have Larry Fitzgerald. Okay, yeah. No. Kenyon Drake's on that team too. Oh, shit. We are screwed.
Christian
and
Kirk.
And that's right. And they drafted Isaiah Simmons, the guy who literally is a utility weapon at any position on the field. He might even play tight end for them this year. We don't know.
Hey, hang on. Whoa. We have Tua. Oh, wait. We didn't draft Tua. Never mind. You're right.
Going up against what I am going to put down as the early favorite for probably the most dangerous offense in the NFL, if they can get all the pieces firing at the right time, you have a guy who, in my opinion, is the top 3 receiver to ever play this game, and he still doesn't look like he's slowing down. You have the guy who last year, I don't know about you two, but I know for a fact, I put as the number 1 receiver in this league, and guess what? He's still the number 1 receiver in this league this year, too. You have a quarterback who, against a lot of doubters, proved, if you give me a little bit of time, I can sling the football. So, unfortunately, for 2 years in a row, the Lions lose to the Arizona Cardinals. This time in Arizona, it's going to be tough. But you know what? This time, I'm hoping we don't blow the lead. I'm hoping we just stay with them and they beat us and a last second play because I can't handle it any other way. Oh, that is a tie. Yeah, that still counts as a loss. We gave up like 20 points in the fourth quarter. That still counts as a loss.
I like your mentality. It was a loss. Yep. I like your mentality.
Felt like a loss.
It's
but
like
I have loss. Arizona Cardinals beating the Detroit Lions 2-1 to start the season.
Okay. I also have them starting 2-1, but that's because they beat the Cardinals here. I see it as a toss-up. They've historically struggled with rushing quarterbacks or scrambling quarterbacks, and, well, Kyler fits that bill, and they have – well, it's the start of a trend that you'll see spread throughout the schedule here of the highest profile offseason moves that were made, the Lions are going to go against them. And obviously DeAndre Hopkins sits in there. But they're super familiar with this team. This is the third season in a row that they're traveling to Arizona. They're 2-0-1. They have not lost in that. I'm hoping that they pull this one out. This is one they should still have because that defense, even with Simmons, who's a rookie, who – scarily for them, has said, I just want to focus on doing one position well.
Hmm.
You're neutering him. So, still not a good enough defense. I think they squeak it out there. 2-1 start.
All right. Well, this is – I hate most teams that come out of Arizona right now after my track record that I'm still on my couch at 2:30. I know I've changed the time a million times. Still on my couch. Michigan State-Arizona game. Week 3 is the revenge untying. We need to win week 3, and we need to win the week that we fucked up last year as well. So I'm giving them a W just on the sheer merits that you have to do it. You have to avenge that ugly one that sat in our record all year last year. It was the ugliest thing to the right of our wonderful losing record. So they're going to start 3-0, fellas, and I've got them there getting a win on the road against the Cardinals.
If you told me...
Yeah, no, I never would have guessed it. I really wouldn't. When you said that was their only win to start it, I really did believe it for a minute. All right, well, I know no one else can see this but us, but it's fun for it anyway. It looks like with the third week pick, we're not going to hear from Paul Rowe. We're going to hear from Nugget, Paul's dog.
Arf!
No, so I actually... I was thinking about this one because I know how disheartening it was for them to end up tying them last year. And now they have more weapons against us upcoming year. But I still want to think that we're not going to go 1-2. I actually want to give them this win. I think it's going to be one of those games where we start thinking that there's hope for us to have a winning season again. And I think this game is going to do that.
All right, win against the Cardinals. Well, Paul, really you teased it, so you might as well explain it. Carrying on
so
to
I
that,
think we're actually
going to
win against
four, the Lions. They go up against the one team that I think I'd be horrified to play if I was the Detroit Lions. The New Orleans Saints at Ford Field.
Yeah, so I think, unfortunately for them, it doesn't matter where we play them. I think the Saints are just very, very strong in both ends of the ball. And I don't think the Lions are quite up to par with them yet. So that's going to be a loss, and it's going to be an expected
loss.
But I would love to be wrong. And if there's more to it than that, please tell me. But I think we're going to lose this one.
Breeze, Thomas, Kamara, loss. See you.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you. I think you forgot about the fact that they also have Sanders. So
Barry?
Barry. Colonel, yeah.
No, Colonel.
Oh, KFC in a bucket. We're still losing on that $5 bucket deal. We're out. You lost.
Rusty.
Rust's over to you.
I also have a loss. It's the Saints. Yes, they haven't played in two seasons, so hey, maybe they can sneak one by them. And yes, the Lions are 3-1 in their last four meetings against the Saints, but you don't bet against Breeze. So they'll head into the bye.
Okay. 2-2. I took the words right out of my mouth. You don't bet against Breeze. Especially, I don't think you bet against Breeze this year. Breeze has legitimately been on two Super Bowl contending teams in the last 2 years, and he has been screwed out of both of them. Drew Breeze is coming out knowing that his time is short, that he doesn't have a lot, like very many more seasons to do this at a high level. So he's coming out, and he's going to make sure that he's going to take these final second calls out of the ref's hands. He's going to put up enough points in these games to guarantee that there is no questionable calls. So Drew Brees is going to go after it this year, and unfortunately, we're going to have to deal with that I have the Lions losing, starting out the season 2-2. And before we get on, I do like to say the Lions really do seem to get very screwed when it comes to bye weeks in the NFL. I believe this is a couple years in a row now. Lions have an early, early bye. Week 5 bye. It just seems like that could be really playing to our injury thing, is the fact that we have to turn around and play another 11 weeks without a week off. And that can be very, very testing, especially when you have some guys on your team that are injury prone and could probably use the late season relaxation. But after the bye, obviously we're all going to assume the Lions win the bye week. After that, Lions easy. That's questionable. after that, Lions head to Jacksonville to play the Jacksonville Jaguars. And this is a team that this is anybody's guess what this team is going to look like. Trade away Nick Foles. You're committed to Gardner Minshew. He's fun. He's interesting. They've already said they have no interest in picking up the option on Fournette. So who knows what's going to happen there. This is a team that traded away, correct me if I'm wrong, they traded away their best defensive player. It's just it's a big question mark what we're going to see from this team. So that being that, and assuming that the Jacksonville Jaguars aren't going to get it figured out that quickly, I have the Detroit Lions winning this one against the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep. I also have a win, even though it's in Florida, but a 3-2 coming off the bye the last 5 years, including one win against the Jaguars, right? So they can repeat that. But just quickly to your point about the bye weeks, I dug into this because it bothered me hell of a lot too. Last 5 years, including this one, week 5, week 5, week 6, week 7, week 10. All right, average 6.6. The last 10 years of Super Bowl teams, their bye average, 8.7, a full 2 weeks later. No team has won the Super Bowl in the last 10 years with a bye week earlier than week 7. And the Lions are almost exclusively getting before week 7 byes. It could be correlation, but it damn well sucks. And injuries have been a problem, and this looks like something that could play into that. But, yeah, I got them.
I actually have a stat for you on that, Russ. No Lions team has won a Super Bowl in the last 60 years with the byes they've been given. I can verify it. My dad's alive, and he was born the year after the Lions won the last Super Bowl.
I don't like your counter stat.
Jay, over to you. Jacksonville Jaguars.
I mean, the only question I had to ask myself was who actually wants to play for Jacksonville other than being able to look up at a jacuzzi that's built into the fucking stadium and see a bunch of girls in bikinis. I'd play for them. I wouldn't be helpful on the field, but I'd be looking towards the stadium. I think you all are raising your hands. We all would play for them. This is on the road. This is a win against Jacksonville. I don't know what Jacksonville is right now. I don't know what their scheme is. I don't know what their identity is. They've lost assets. Jalen Ramsey's gone. Their quarterback is gone. I got a guy with a mustache with a weird name that was great for fantasy for like 3 weeks for me, and I'm moved on to the next. So this is a win.
The Jacksonville Jaguars are actually just a front for the Uncle Rico Passing Academy.
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Paul, over to you. Jacksonville Jaguars coming off the bye.
Yeah, I think we'll capitalize on that uncertainty of the Jaguars not really having an identity of who they are and what they're doing. I think that
very nice. I like it.
Is probably just gonna be just
quick
that.
Turnaround for you, Paulie. Following week, Detroit Lions head to Atlanta to another. Another case of two straight road games. Head to Atlanta, face an Atlanta Falcons team with some changes to that offense, some changes for the worse, some possibly for the better.
Yeah, you know, I was trying to think of best explanation for this because they're kind of like going to be the same thing of the Jaguars, where it's like, you know, we don't really know how the offense is going to look. I know it was actually pretty much trash for a little bit there. I'm thinking this is a very winnable game. I think if the Lions do everything right, they'll win this game. But I think it could also be one of those potential games where if we are being kind of the Lions that we know and love that unfortunately can do some things to our hearts and lose the game, I think that's a game that could possibly do that. But I think so that, if they do anything right, they can win that game, sure.
And I had to look into the Falcons' schedule. They alternate home and away games every single week leading up to this game against the Lions. And by the time that the fourth quarter's done with the Lions, they would have played every single team from the NFC North within the first 7 weeks of the year. The other teams that they play are Seattle and Dallas, mixed in with the NFC North. We get them at the end of that flip-flop madness. Gurley's knees are busted as shit, and I'm not worried about Gurley on that team. The Lions get a win on the road with Atlanta, and we have a lot more W's coming this way if you haven't noticed yet. But we're getting a win against Atlanta just because of the schedule.
So I wish I shared your optimism. If this was at home, it might go the other way. This is another one of those high-profile free agency moves, bringing in Gurley. I'm also not scared of him, but it's an offense that is very similar to the Lions. It's a team that's very similar to the Lions. That there's a reason Trufant came here afterward. He's a fit both places. Statistically, they were pretty similar in their yards per play, but Atlanta's defense was actually better than the Lions. So in Atlanta, I'm going to give it to Atlanta, especially coming off of another road game. I don't think either team is going to be all in that great shape, even though it's fine.
I'm right in that little middle ground between the two. I agree with Jay. Gurley's knees, or Gurley in general, should be pretty much worn out. Like he was a mainstay necessity for the Rams over the last couple years. But the thing is, this is also the first time in Gurley's career you can honestly say he's walking into a team that has a balanced attack. They can run the ball, but oh, by the way, they can throw the ball. Matt Ryan, for all his faults, is a heck of a quarterback. You have Julio Jones, one of the top receivers. You have Ridley. You have these guys who are very, very talented on that ball. My only question is, who's the tight end for him with Hooper heading to Cleveland? That's why it worries me, because at this time, you're coming right into that sweet spot of any issues they have with Gurley meshing with this offense, they'll have smoothed out by then. And Gurley doesn't need to be a 30 carry a night kind of guy. If Gurley can take 15, 20 carries for, you know, for a buck 10 a night, that's perfect for them. Matt Ryan will do the rest with that passing attack. So unfortunately, I don't like it, but I do actually have the Lions losing to Atlanta in Atlanta, and it's a rough one. But like Jay said, some wins are coming, and the wins are coming quick. I actually have the Lions figuring it out for a little bit here. Following week, Lions head back home and play the Indianapolis Colts, Phillip Rivers, new quarterback of that team. And you know what? It's not going to be a happy reception for Phillip in Ford Field. I actually don't think the Phillip Rivers experiment is going to work out in Indy. I really don't. I think Phillip Rivers is a good quarterback, but I think if you look back at Phillip Rivers' career, Phillip Rivers was a very fortunate guy to have a lot of help around him. He has one of the most prolific tight ends in NFL history. He had LaDainian Tomlinson, arguably one of the top backs we've ever seen. He has this receiving core that is insane for him. He had Melvin Gordon. He had Austin Eckler. He has had a lot of help around him, and therefore, he has looked a lot better. Now he comes to the Colts, who are not a trash team, but I don't know that you can really compare the amount of talent he had around him in San Diego to the amount he'll have in Indy. So I just think this Lions team gets out and gets after it early, and I have them winning against Indy.
Eric, I'm sorry, Russ, you go. See, like, I'm screwing up the order. My bad. I'm going to take a swig.
Okay. It's okay. I don't have too much on this one because it's one of the games I analyzed the least. So you'll get to go soon. I'm not 100% sold on Rivers either, but he's going to be better than what Brissett gave them last year. Plus, is a sneaky good defense, top 10 in turnover percentage last year. I'll say if the Lions are going to make the playoffs, they need to win at least one of the week prior with the Falcons, this one with the Colts, and the next week with the Vikings. If they don't win at least one, they won't make the playoffs. I do have them losing here, which is a bit of a spoiler for how I think the end of the season goes.
Wah, wah. Well, I apologize for cutting you off there, good sir. You did have a good analysis.
No, you're good.
I've got them winning this game. Eric Ebron is gone. I don't know who Phillip Rivers. T.Y. Hilton is like, yeah, for now. And then they got Marlon Mack in the background.
Fair.
Eric Ebron's gone. They got old man Phillip Rivers and his trundle of kids that come with him. Their best player on their team isn't even on offense, and Darius Leonard on defense. So I just – I don't – I have – and, Russ, you showed me that way of Darius Leonard. So
the guy's a beast.
I love that guy. He's so good.
I give you credit to you on that one. But I just – I'm not afraid of the Colts either. And I my Lions have only lost one game so far, so I'm giving them a W this week.
So you're just drunk on
I'm drunk for days, man. It's quarantine.
Listen, we've had 3 years of salty Justin on predictions. It was inevitable that at some point we were going to get a good Justin take. You're going to do it. All right, Paul, over to you. You can kind of favor it one way or the other here. Two wins and a loss so far in this Indy matchup.
Yeah, so another one I was kind of going heads or tails with is actually going to go with a coin flip of essentially I think they're going to win only because I'm going to hope that at this point we're a little bit more together with it than they are, given the, like, you know, the new system of having Phillip Rivers back there. So I'm going to go with a win here.
Okay. I like it. I like it. Kind of getting into that back and forth here now. Lions following week. Getting into the NFC North a little bit more, finishing off their first round of the NFC North, head to Minnesota and take on the Vikings. Paul, it's a quick turnaround to you. This is a team that their number one receiver no longer on the team. Kirk Cousins is lasting there, but I don't know that he's ever really proven it. But Thielen has stepped up, is now the go-to guy. They still have a pretty aggressive running attack. Minnesota Vikings, who you got?
Yeah, exactly for that running attack reason, and especially after seeing what they did to us last year, I have them losing this because they're going to run all over us.
Jay, over to you.
I don't think we're going to stand a chance, unfortunately.
I have the same sentiment as Paul on that. Even more so, they went very heavy on defense in the draft. They have a very young defense now. Defense will lose this game for us this week on the road against the Vikings. Do you think you're going to win when you got a giant ass horn getting yelled in your face right off the get-go in that beautiful stadium? Plus, I'm really digging Vikings right now with some shows on Netflix. So, do the skull clap. The Vikings are getting a win. My Lions have lost two games on the year. And, Paul, you are right on the money on that running game.
Let's make it three losses in a row. Minnesota's defense was really good last year, and it got better. Top 10 yards allowed per play, top 10 opponents scoring per drive. Third best turnover percentage for their defense. I don't like that with Kirk Cousins. I don't need to. It's been bad recently for the Lions and the Vikings and going on the road.
All right.
So I've got a loss then.
Let me lay some knowledge. Let me lay some knowledge.
Sell it,
sell
it, baby.
On you
sell
kids.
Me a W.
Yes, that running attack for the Vikings is going to be tough. It's going to be very rough. I think this is a time where the Lions can really turn on the Jets and prove that this offense is everything it should be advertised as. You went out in that second round, you took Swift. You had the opportunity to get the edge rusher in AJ Epenesa. I'm going to be talking about that like Jay talks about Tua, because that one was rough for me. You got Swift. So you proved you want to be a balanced team. You have Kerryon. Hopefully Kerryon's still healthy at this point. We all know he could go down at any point. You have this guy. You went out and got Hawk last year, who is known for being a guy that can do a bit of both, but he's predominantly known as a blocker. This is the chance where you say, hey, you have a good run game. Take a look at our run game. We went out and we actively worked to fix it. I have the Lions winning this game in Minnesota, and I have them winning it for the fact of I do think that run game is going to get going, but also for the fact that I think we're going to get a healthy Stafford. Bevel, Patricia, they're going to make conscientious attempts to make sure that Stafford in this offense looks different in the way of they're not going to make him stand back there and wait on a lot. This is going to be quick. This is going to be find that guy. We're going to choreograph an offense where you shouldn't be on the dirt very often. And when you are, it's just because we needed you to make a play with your feet on a broken play. So I have the Lions winning this one in Minnesota. And I have the Lions starting out 3-0 in the NFC North. Not a bad way to go. Quick turnaround. This is the one where I had a lot of fun with it just for the fact that You get to see the number two and the number three pick go up. Or they don't really face each other, but they'll both be on the field as Washington comes to town. Get to see Chase Young and the Redskins. Basically, you get to see the Ohio State Redskins because you got Dwayne. You got Chase Young. That's about all they got, unfortunately. I don't really have a lot else to sell on them. I am going to make a bold prediction here. Ron Rivera, this is his first year, so he doesn't have a lot of high expectations. But I will say for this, I do not think Dwayne Haskins is the starting quarterback for the Washington Redskins by the time they get to this game. I think that he's gonna give him a chance. He's going to let him see what he can do. He's not going to like it. You're going to see Kyle Allen. You're going to see someone playing quarterback for this team, and you're going to see the Washington Redskins be looking actively at quarterbacks this following offseason. Lions get the win against Washington at Ford Field.
Woo!
I share your sentiment that I think they'll win. I still think Washington's a garbage team, even though I wish we would have been able to get Chase Young, and I like that guy a lot. I'm more confident in Haskins, we'll put it that way. I think he remains a starter throughout the season, but it's still a garbage team. They're still thin in so many different places. And as long as you're depending on 47-year-old Adrian Peterson, who's been clinically dead for 7 years.
Oh, no, I'm finish your sentence. I want to say something quick for Jay.
Okay. Yeah, I was just saying that they're too thin, and I don't think they
My real quick thing, and then Jay, I want to get to you. The thing that keys to me that this team is way worse off than we originally thought, and I sent this to both you two when it was story. It never ended up happening. The reason I think this team is in such flux is your best player is your left tackle. That guy is a monster, Trent Williams, a monster. And the first thing, and doesn't want to play there, and your head coach was quoted as saying, if we can find a place for him, we'll make it happen. Meaning, you're okay letting your best player. Chase Young is great. Put your hand in the dirt and play a couple weeks. Let's see. He could become their best player, and then I'm full of it. But for right now, as this season goes, your left tackle, Trent Williams, is the best player you have on this team, and you're willing to let him walk. That tells me that there is not a lot of looking to keeping talent when you can keep talent. You can easily make this guy happy. Throw the money at him, pay him, show him the love he wants, and they don't have any interest in doing it, and they're willing to let one of the best left tackles in football walk. That tells me this team is going to be in for a long year, regardless of if Chase Young balls out, regardless of if Dwayne Haskins can figure it out, and regardless of if Adrian Peterson can remember that he's almost as old as Frank Gore.
So Eric stole everything. Everything he just said was literally punctuation, everything. No. This is the easiest win on
spelling errors.
Well, spelling errors are very frequent on this side of the woods. This is the easiest opponent on the season. It's at home. There's probably going to be some Lions fans that don't even watch, which is weird, but they won't because it should be easy. It's a W. Give me the win. Give me my sweet, sweet wins. I'm Jameising all over the place. I'm eating.
Love
the W.
It. Love it. Paulie, over to you, the Washington Redskins.
I think this is going to be a win for them for sure, as long as we don't emphasize our run game too much.
Lions, quick turnaround, and they will face the Carolina Panthers in Carolina.
I think for a similar reason that their running game, just like the Vikings, I think with McCaffrey, I think he has the potential to run on us for sure.
That's fair.
So if they get that going on us, they'll definitely beat us. So this one, I actually have us losing.
All right. This was also a fun one for me. Cam Newton, I'd love for you to be on a football team somewhere, please. I'd love to see you on my weekends. McCaffrey got paid. They've got no Cam Newton, no Greg Olson, no Ron Rivera. They are young, and they are a building team. Stop me if you've dealt with young and building team and having no stability before, because this is why the Lions are going to get a W on the road that week against Carolina. I've got them winning this game. McCaffrey is dangerous, and I will respect McCaffrey. There's no other element of that game that's consistent, and I'm taking the W against the Panthers.
I also haven't taken a W. Yeah, Cam's out, Teddy's in, but this defense, this Carolina defense is so bad. We beat up on the Lions for how bad this defense was. Only six teams gave up scores on a higher percentage of their opponent's drives. Carolina gave up more than the Lions. Not by a lot. Not by a lot, mind you. But they did, which is horrible. And they didn't do enough to address it. So I got the win there on the road. And the first win streak for the Lions of the season by my schedule.
I'm keeping track. This is true. We've only agreed three times throughout 11 weeks so far. But that is your first
win. I'm sorry. I got lost in Paul's eyes. Listen. I gotta stop Skyping with Paul. Listen.
You did that last time I was on, too.
I can answer this one pretty quickly.
You're welcome.
I think, Jay, plug your ears for a minute. This is going to hurt. I think Carolina upgraded at quarterback. I think they finally got themselves an actual quarterback. Listen, before he got hurt, Teddy Bridgewater was a good quarterback in this NFL with a tremendous upside. Obviously, horrific injury, found a way to make it back. Listen, Cam Newton proved that if you just don't rush him, he's not going to complete any passes because he doesn't have to. There's no reason for him to run. I can't. I'm sorry. But
take that back.
There is still there's still one thing,
love you, Cam,
or one person on this team that makes all the difference. Christian McCaffrey. I have this as a loss for that exact reason Paul said. That run game, I don't care what that defense does. That run game, Christian McCaffrey easily probably has 250 in all-purpose yards in this game because he's such a weapon running the ball, catching the ball. Heck, they could put him at punt return and he probably takes one back. Christian McCaffrey is going to be the deciding factor in this. This is not a bad Lions team this year. I just think this is a team that you're got to go up against arguably the best running back in the league, and he's going to make it tough on you because he's going to be the only thing they have. This is not going to be a good Carolina team, but Christian McCaffrey doesn't want to lose. So I have it as a loss to the Carolina Panthers. Jay, go ahead real quick.
One quick thing before we turn the corner on this season, just because we're at 10 games right now, just to update. Paul's at 5-5, Russ is at 5-5, Eric's at 6-4, and I'm at 8-2 for the first 10 games in the season. So, Eric, as we lead off into the other half of the league,
okay, I appreciate it. All right, well, this is the one that I honestly want to get through quick because I know how much Russ loves this guy, and I love him too. But I want to hear what he has to say about him now that he doesn't have his number one weapon. It's obviously the Houston Texans. No DeAndre. They pick up David Johnson at running back, questionable running back. When he's healthy, very talented. Question is, when is he going to be healthy? On the other side of that ball, J.J. Watt, arguably one of the most dominant defensive forces we've seen in our lifetime. Another guy cannot seem to stay on the field for a full season. And also, they don't seem to be very adamant at building around J.J. and helping him get pieces. The number one thing they have for him right now is obviously Deshaun Watson. And I just question, taking away a weapon from Deshaun, you kind of hindered him more than you helped him. I get that there was conversation of locker room issues between O'Brien and DeAndre Hopkins, but that being said, I actually have this as a win. I think this is a Houston team that's going to take a step back this year. They got rid of their number one weapon. They got rid of their best piece, and I think they're going to need a year to get things figured out again. So I have this as a win for the Detroit Lions.
This was one of the hardest ones for me to do. Put frankly, between this one and the Packers game in 2 weeks, I'm probably going to flip-flop on what I think the outcome will be 70 or so times, maybe 69 times, between now and the start of the season. But this one, Thanksgiving game, and they replaced DeAndre Hopkins with Randall Cobb, so they're fine, right? They're fine. The biggest thing is we do not have Jim Schwartz there to unnecessarily throw a penalty flag and cost us a score there. I'm reluctantly giving the Lions a Thanksgiving Day miracle. We're stuffing the turkey. We're stuffing the scoreboard. They'll take the win. I'll probably
frickin' bang.
But it's a win for now. And a three-game win streak.
Johnny Bechtel with the frickin' bang all day, boys. Jay, over to you now, man.
Yeah, they lost on Thanksgiving Day. Deshaun Watson is still a beast. And he might not have his number one weapon.
Sure.
He's still a beast. So, not to ruin your high there, I'm going to have some soggy mashed potatoes on Thanksgiving because we lost.
Can't blame me on it. Paul, over to you. Loss number three. Thanksgiving Day, Deshaun Watson, that team, kind of a little bit of a question of what kind of offense they're going to have. What do you got? Yeah.
This was my kind of spirit fingers at Thanksgiving Day, Turkey Day win for us. I think it's, you know, if we have all the right things going for us, I think so. You know, if everything's on point, both sides of the ball. Mm-hmm. But it is a kind of a gulp kind of win. Like, I don't think it's actually going to happen, but I hope it does.
Mm-hmm.
But this was one of my last
Following week, Lions head to Soldier Field in Chicago.
So that's
play the Bears for the second time. Get back into that NFC North swing. Paul, I got to ask you, what do you got them doing here? Is that Bears team going to get some retribution from earlier on in the year? Okay.
I have us beating them again because I'm hoping that at this point we're actually doing the right thing instead of the wrong thing. I'm hoping that everything is, you know, everything's clicking into high gear for us. Like I was saying, and for the last game, both ends of the ball, I hope we beat them. I hope the Bears still have no identity other than Khalil Mack. And I think that we can take that win. And again, that was win two. Okay. Like, that was my for all sure right. win of the latter
Jay,
half.
Over to you.
Among the maybe three wins. So that's number two.
The Bears sucked in week one, and they're going to suck in week 13 as well. Quick and easy. We've been racking up W's all year over here in the spooky schedule. So we're taking a W in week 13.
Say with me, four-game win streak. I got them going to Chicago, winning a lot of the same reasons from earlier. This is the same effectiveness as Minnesota's defense, but they don't force as many turnovers, and they have a worse offense. So the high point of the Lions season right here, soak it in. This is when we're going to be happy, and this is where it's going to
be. I'm with you guys. I do not think this is the Chicago Bears team that gets it figured out. Khalil Mack's in for a very rough season. Unfortunately, listen, Nick Foles was great on a Super Bowl champion Eagles team. Not great anywhere else. So I have them getting this win and sweeping the Bears for this season. Moving on to the following week, coming back to Ford Field. We all love seeing Aaron Rodgers in Ford Field because there's just so many great memories of that happening. I'm going to be straightforward here. I think we all know Green Bay is a team that for some odd reason, when it starts getting later in the year, they figure out a way to turn it on and be in the conversation for playing, you know, in the playoffs. I have us losing because why the hell would we win in Green Bay and then lose at Ford Field? Because we're the Detroit Lions. I don't think it affects anything. I still think this is a team that could finish in the top of the NFC North this year, upcoming season. But for right now, I got them losing to Green Bay in Ford Field. Hopefully it's not another 80-yard Aaron Rodgers crow hop goal line touchdown. But yeah, I got a loss.
Yeah, I can promise you it won't be an 80-yard. 82, probably 82. 2015 was the last time that these two teams didn't sweep each other, one way or the other. I got it happening again. I had them losing to Green Bay earlier. I have them losing to Green Bay here. Yeah, Rodgers doesn't have weapons. Yeah, Rodgers is on the decline. But show me that you beat him. Once they can show me consistently that they can beat a healthy Rodgers, then I'll start believing it.
Jay, over to you.
Got a loss.
This, you know, Aaron Rodgers as a player week by week might be the only thing we've agreed on today so far. A late Rodgers is a danger Rodgers. And I am writing a poem if you are interested. I will post it somewhere about Aaron Rodgers week by week and how he progresses as a player. Aaron Rodgers is dangerous. And at this time of the year, it's time for him to get dangerous. So
all righty, Paul, over to you,
week
buddy.
14.
I have those haunting memories of hope of us beating the Green Bay Packers. And then what's going to happen is Aaron Rodgers, suffice to say, Aaron Rodgers, Hail Mary.
I like
there
it.
Goes
I
like
straight, it. Yeah, straightforward, honest. Can't ask for a lot more than that. All right, moving on to the following week. Paul, coming right back to you. The Lions head out to Tennessee to take on the Tennessee Titans. How you got this one shaken out?
So this was the last one I was thinking they could possibly win. I think it might be a slugfest a little bit. I think it might come down to the wire, but I think the Lions could actually possibly win this one. And to be honest, it's mostly just coming from hope that they win one more game before the season ends.
That's
at this
fair.
Point.
Jay, over to you.
Because I don't think they can take the next two. So I have them winning this one.
I don't think Tennessee will be competing at this point in the year. Last year was a very interesting year for them. I don't see them eclipsing what they did back then. I also miss Mike Vrabel. I wish he was our head coach right now. So shout out to Mike Vrabel. We're getting a W. We're beating the Titans on the road. See you, bye.
I again wish I shared in your optimism. If this was a home game, I would probably have them winning. It's a strength versus strength kind of a matchup. On the road, I think the Titans can get out.
A little one of those happening. Yeah.
Losing streak. Ooh. Oh, no.
Okay, hold on. Eric's laptop has decided it doesn't want to work for a minute. Yeah. Oh, no, you're good. You're good.
I can pick for you. Celebrity shot.
Honestly, this one was tough because I did have to look at it from the fact of Tennessee's strength against ours. And I honestly have this as a win. I have this as a win for the fact that you're going to take on McCaffrey early on or a couple weeks prior. You're going to see a great runner. No one can argue that Derrick Henry is a monster of a running back, but Ryan Tannehill is not a monster of a quarterback. And in that reasoning, I don't really see any other threat than send everybody in the box. All we got to do is limit the amount of damage that Derrick Henry does to us. And this is a game we can get out of. We really can. So I have this as a win. Lions beating Tennessee. So it should be interesting. Now the one that I've been looking forward to most, because Jay hates this man so much that I can't even imagine what he's going to say. Lions take on at home the new New England Patriots, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tom Brady... Anybody wants to argue this with me, I welcome it. Tom Brady might have the most weapons he's ever had in his entire life on this team. When you think about the fact that he's got Evans, he's got O.J. Howard, Gronk is going to play. There's a running game now with multiple backs capable. It's going to be a fun game to watch. It's going to be at Ford Field, and I'm 100% going to do everything I can to be at this game. And I'm not going to be too heartbroken when the Detroit Lions lose to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
I'll keep it short. I also have a loss. New unis, new Brady. This could be what decides if they go into the playoffs or not.
Fair enough.
So it's a loss.
All right. He who shall not be named is not going to have a great opening act with the Bucks. Just like MJ, when he tried to go play baseball, it didn't work out. Tom Brady is switching teams. He's practically switching sports because he's not with Bill Belichick anymore. I don't like the Buccaneers. I don't like Tom Brady. The game is at home for the Lions. We are going to win this game because Tom Brady in Tampa Bay is not going to work out. And I have no statistical backing to prove why I feel that way. Not at all. I don't like Tom Brady. And that's enough energy for me to understand that this is not going to work out in Tampa Bay. Gronk's probably not making it to week 9. This is not happening for them. And it's not happening in Detroit. We're getting a W against the Tampa Bay Patriot New England Buccaneers.
11 wins. All right.
11 wins.
Paul, over to you.
So this is going to be a Tom Brady who's going to be very comfortable with his Buccaneers by this point, or at least I would hope he would be at this point in the season. I think it's going to be pretty much an offensive weapon show on his part with the tools that you had mentioned, Eric. And also, he's got Gronk. Granted, you know, he was in retirement for a little bit. You know, he didn't take time to be the White Tiger on Masked Singer. So he's still got the moves. If you had watched the show, he's still got some moves in him. But I think that this is going to be, like I was saying, Brady super comfortable with his team at this point. Going to be his, you know, pretty much his old self.
All right, Paul. Let's finish this thing off strong.
To beat the Lions.
Lions stay home for the final game of the year and take on the Minnesota Vikings. All right, fair enough. Now, wait, real quick, I want to go to Jay, but I'm going to ask you, Paul.
The same reason the only time I'm going to butt in. The running game's too strong.
They faced McCaffrey. They faced Derrick Henry. You don't think that they've gotten a little bit of an understanding of how to handle a run game by then? Okay. Hey, straightforward answer. I can't be too upset with it. Way to rip off the Band-Aid there, Rock.
Goodbye.
Nope.
Jay, over to you, man.
This will be the only time in the year we get back-to-back home games in Detroit. It also is when we end the season. Oh, I did my shit this morning, man. I'm on it. We're getting a win against the Vikings at home to end the season and to end the best season in my lifetime as a Detroit Lions fan. We're going to take care of business. We're going to have a little win streak at the end here.
I'm not getting great a win at math, but does Jay have us going like 14-2? 17-0, okay. Russ, let's
17-0, I believe. Okay, so by my math, I have him at 7-8 at this point, which likely means the playoffs are out of reach. Patricia has not beat the Vikings as the Lions head coach, which of course means he does here. They end the season on a meeting.
I love
this one. Was pretty simple for me. I just think this is a Lions team that's going to be a lot more figured out than we're used to seeing, and in doing so, is going to be a little perplexing for us to watch. I have the Lions winning this one, finishing 10-6, playoff contending team. I think that I obviously, without going through everybody else's schedules, I have a good feeling that the win against Green Bay is going to mean a lot more in that early part of the season, and they could potentially be at the top of the NFC North if not vying for it. Finishing up that last game in Minnesota. So got him finishing 10-6, and I think this should be a fun season to watch. But last year I had him going 11-5, and it was not that fun to watch. So what the hell do I know?
So what were the total records for everybody?
I got a Paul at 9-7. I got a Russ at 8-8, and Eric Paul at 7-6. Or are you 7-9, Paul? Beer, my bad. And then I've got, this is not a beer answer. I've got my Lions at 12-4 for the 20.
You're right. It's not a beer answer. It's a pop off answer.
Listen, for me, the Lions, they're like right now, I'm planning a trip to Florida. Okay. By doing this schedule, I'm going to give an analogy real quick. I'm planning my trip, but it's going to end up where my bags get lost. My hotel room is wrong. I got bed bugs in my bed. And I come home to a flooded basement. And I'm fully prepared for the Lions to disappoint me in that fashion. But damn it, I'm going on vacation and we're going 12-4.
This is some rare optimism.
I don't want to be hypocritical here. Did it just get cold in here to anyone else? Because I think hell just froze over that Sergeant Salty went positive. All right. Well, it should be very interesting to see. And obviously, our show isn't going to change too much. Every week, we'll break it down as we go, watch Justin's hope and optimism slowly fade away, like it does every year for Justin, as he watches the Spartans and Wolverine, or Spartans lose to the Wolverines, and then lose to the Wolverines. All right, moving on. This one was kind of inspired. Jay, I'm going to let you go first here because this one was very, very, very much inspired by you last week.
Absolutely.
We decided to have a little conversation on the top five names in sports that just don't make sense to you. Just they're perplexing. You don't get them. You don't understand.
Oh.
And we decided that everybody gets to put together a little list and we'll have some fun with. So, Jay, the names that just don't make sense to you. I'm gonna let you. You're the one that inspired it, so I'm gonna let. Listen, the Oakland Athletics didn't make sense to you, and therefore we have to understand why.
They still don't. All right, so we're gonna do this real quickly, and if you don't understand, I fully understand you won't understand because it's my brain and it works in magical ways. That was confusing all by itself. Try to keep along. First team, Russ is probably. I froze Russ. first team, Cleveland Browns. I don't care if there is a connection between the city of Cleveland and Brown, but Brown's a fucking color. And Brown does not represent a team in any – it's a color. You're a color. You're a brown. You're a hue. You're a tint. You're not a football team. Sorry. The next one I actually have a better answer for, but it's the New York Jets, who once were the Titans. They were the New York Titans. You have two teams in a big city. You could have been the Titans and the Giants, which makes sense. Like, there's this mythological fight that's happening between these two different teams. No, you changed your name to the Jets. That's boring as shit for New York. You're in a big city. Russ is holding up his Jets sweater. That makes sense because they are the true North.
Winnipeg Jets, mind you.
It makes more sense. The New York Jets doesn't make sense to me. So we're done with that. I've got a twofer for my number three. It's both in the NHL. Ooh. And it both teams defy, which should make sense. Hockey's played on ice, and the Calgary Flames and the Devils both represent elements of heat. And that's how melting happens, and you're not going to be skating on a rink anytime soon. So the Calgary Flames and then the New Jersey Devils, that doesn't add up on ice. Sorry. Oakland Athletics, yeah, we know about you, but I'm going to move over to a baseball team. The Kansas City Royals are named after a family function that takes place since 1899, which is essentially a fucking barbecue. They name them the Royals because once a year, every year, they get together, and it's a livestock barbecue backyard, middle of the road with the one light in town festival where all your aunts and uncles are there, and that's all that's there. They're named after a family fun fair. It's not appropriate, and they shouldn't be a sports team. Last one is the Phoenix Suns. They're lazy. Every other team in that state is either named after an animal or a snake or a reptile. You got the Diamondbacks, you got the Coyotes. You have the ball of gases as the Phoenix Suns, and I'm out on that logic.
Very well done. I got to say, one of those will be making an appearance on my list, so I like it. We're going to go over to Dio Poliro here. Paul, the teams that just don't make sense to the Dio.
I got a couple similarities there. The Cleveland Browns are really off with, for sure. Because I guess they're actually named after one of their
Paul Brown,
coaches.
Yep.
I think it was like Paul so Brown, dumb. I think. So, named after their coach. And there you have it. For the rest of time. Now, granted, I don't know how special, like, I don't know the significant history of this man, like, other than, like, he was their coach. I don't know if he, like, anything else went on with the man, but to just name him after your coach and boom, that's history. You know, like, that's interesting to say the least. Next, Oakland Athletics is actually one that was on my list because they sound like an athletic brand of shorts to me. I think of shorts. I think of like those athletic shorts that are like, breathable.
You two are related. This doesn't count.
And Justin, I see him raising his arms because I'm sure the family connection here, he's thinking the same exact thing as I am.
Yeah, he had a full rant last week about this.
It's exactly my thought process on his team. I mean, like, even like their little symbol, like, I can see that at the bottom of my shorts, not because it's because of the
Go off, King!
I did the same thing last week. I'm so happy you said that. We're 2-2. So, we are split on this show. The Oakland Athletics are not real. They're just athletic people. You suck.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank God.
I definitely echo that sentiment as well. The next two, actually kind of similar. Not that it's a confusing name, but I'm actually kind of ashamed of the laziness of the naming of the team. And it's the twofer. It's the Buffalo Bills, Buffalo Sabres. So taking the name Buffalo and wow, you're putting the Bills there and your symbol is a Buffalo. Buffalo Sabres, yet again, your symbol is a Buffalo. And before that, they wanted to be the Buffalo Bison, which makes no sense in being the redundancy of that at all. So they changed their name to the Sabres, for the people that can ride the bisons and have the sabers in their hand. So I'm just more appalled at the lack of creativity there. Granted, they already had an animal in their city name, so I give them a little bit of respect there, but be more creative, New York, thank you. Next, speaking of New York, actually, this isn't so much confusion again, but the New York Rangers. Now, I had always thought it was maybe a reference to their like City Park Rangers or something like that, something to that extent. But it was literally because a guy named, his nickname was Tex, from my understanding. His nickname was Tex. Rangers are mostly associated with Texas. So because his nickname was Tex, the team name just became Tex Rangers, like Tex apostrophe S Rangers. And So that was his second team, because they had a team before that, and I'm blanking on the name of the team. I think it was the New York Americans or something like that, something to that extent. So he wanted a second team that he could basically call his own, and then boom, Texas Rangers out of thin air. So again, when I think of Rangers, I think of Texas. I think of the baseball team. I don't think of New York City unless it's the Park Rangers. But, you know, that's a team that's been around for so long, you don't really question or think of it, because I, like I was saying, thought it was the Park Rangers that it was kind of, you know, kind of going with. But no, that's how it came about. So that's how
New York.
Is it weird to anyone
else?
Every time you said New York, like the New York, like police Rangers, I kept hearing the Santa from Elf saying it's the New York it's the New York Rangers. they've been on my list since the riots.
Exactly. The Park Rangers.
Oh my God.
Very well. Perfect, Paul. Perfect.
Yeah.
Paul's
exactly my thought.
Is he going to be able to get through?
Is tickled right now.
Now that awkward moment where I asked Paul, "Was that your list? Are you all set?" There we go. That was fun. Oh, I'm sure you do. All right. Well, Rusty, we just had the cousins completely team
I guess
up
that was five.
Couple,
I have way more. Over than that, to but you. Five is good.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
We're gonna see a little bit of redundancy as we go along here. I'm gonna get my two of them out of the way real quick here. First off, any derogatory Native American reference? Looking at you, Washington football team. Do better. It's 2020. Get out of here. I don't care the background of it. Do better. The other one.
There's six right to say LA, LA Sacramento.
The fact that you don't know who I'm talking about proves my point.
That's a very good point. Very well played.
Right. Like,
that's a good point.
Right. You don't know. You don't even know what sport I'm talking about. And this is the United States of America. Despite what certain politicians will tell you, this has never been a monarchy. We've never had any kings here.
What about King James?
Pro sports teams, so they both get a shit can for that one.
Fair.
I do not recognize. I didn't vote for him.
Is it because Stephen A. Smith started King James? Is that why you don't like him?
Government?
No, it can't be. All right, sorry. Yeah, not to interrupt. Go for it.
It wasn't, but now it can be. Now it can be. Yeah.
The dictator monarchy.
Yeah, so those are my two, my first two. The next one is, so the Flames get the brunt of it, the Calgary Flames. But they're really a symptom of a bigger problem here. They get it because they're the most egregious sinner in the, hey, we named it after something specific about the city we're in, and then we moved, and now it makes absolutely no sense whatsoever. I'm looking at the Grizzlies, who aren't in Memphis. I'm looking at the Lakers. I'm looking at the Jazz. Because, yes, the Utah Jazz made a lot of sense when they were in New Orleans. Kick-ass name. Good luck finding Jazz in Utah. But what makes the Flames the worst is they're actually named after the event during the Civil War when the Union soldiers burnt down Atlanta. That's why they were the Atlanta Flames. And when they moved to Calgary, they kept that. Now, hey, I'm super glad the Union won. And any one of their battles that they won, we want to celebrate? Cool. However, it makes even less sense in a different country than the Civil War happened.
Poor Calgary.
Whatsoever. The last two have already been named, but I'll rip them through a little quick here. Cleveland Browns, named for Paul Brown, their first coach, their first GM. How much more do you need your ego really stroked? Plus, they're the Browns. Their primary color is orange. Good job. And then the last one is Buffalo Bills, also mentioned before. What is a bill? A bill is something that sits on Capitol Hill. It is not a mascot. So they've tried to do this whole Buffalo thing. I dug into it. It's actually for, and this it gets worse the more you dig into this. They're named for Buffalo Bill Cody, who is a Western frontierman who has no connection to the area, no connection to New York. He lived in Toronto for a little bit. That's the closest we've got. But he was known for leading the frontier west. Buffalo is east of over 90% of the United States. Why are we celebrating someone who did the west when you're not even close to the west? It's frustrating. It actually would have made more sense if he was named for the Silence of the Lambs villain, Buffalo Bill, because this is a team that constantly tortures their fan base, and at least that would have made sense. So you're not even a real mascot. You're named for a guy who has nothing to do with your city, and it puts the lotion on the skin or else it gets the loss.
I was going to say, you probably need the lotion because you get burned every year by that team.
And those are my five. Well,
it's interesting to me that they're named after a frontierman that had nothing to do with their city. Kind of like all their coaches that get pushed out because Jack Eichel kills them all. I can see the duality.
I have a
there.
Couple that other people had. But for the most part, I actually stayed away from a lot of these. And mine might just be because I'm weird. Number one, I mentioned this one last week. I threw it out almost immediately when we had this little debate. My first one is the Portland Trailblazers. Because I want to know what kind of trails are they blazing in Portland? Unless trail is the new word for blunt, in which case they're blazing like crazy over there.
Sometimes.
Trailblazers make no sense to me. Number two, Jay pointed this one out. The Cincinnati Royals, or the Kansas City Royals. I want to know, what is royal about Kansas City? You could start a franchise there. And tell him he's allowed to handpick his squad. The formerly mentioned King James still wouldn't go to Kansas City if you let him. Plus, it hurts them even more that they were originally the Cincinnati Royals. All I have to say about Cincinnati is let's all remember the time we had to stop and get gas on the way to go see our buddy Paul Rowe at his white coat ceremony. One of us almost died. I mentioned in the text that I ganged up on one city more than any. So we're actually going to stay in Cincinnati because the last time there was a tiger of mention in Cincinnati was when Sparky Anderson was coaching the Reds. This team, honestly, I actually have a name for them. This team should actually change their name to the Cincinnati Pit Stops because that's all they are for draft picks until they're allowed to go to other teams. So Cincinnati Pit Stops is what I'm giving them. No offense to anyone that lives in Cincinnati, but let's be honest.
For
me, this is a weird one.
Skyline,
next one. This one's weird for me. The Tennessee Titans. they should have just stayed the Tennessee. They should have just stayed the Oilers when they moved. I get it. But the only team that's allowed to actually be called the Titans is one that's coached by Denzel Washington, and they're doing the right thing for America. It's just how I feel.
Is that a burp?
That team is obviously quarterbacked by Sunshine, or else it doesn't count. With where they are now. They should change their name to like the Tennessee Sound,
Trevor Lawrence,
or something. I know that sounds like a WNBA team, but still. And then I don't know. And lastly, Russ mentioned it. It was number one on my list bold, all of it. The Washington Redskins. Let's get back to realizing that your team name is a derogatory term for an ethnicity, but two. If you were like the Wyoming Redskins, okay, out on the plains on the prairie, you chose to make them the team in the capital of the place where we took the country from you and made it our home base, and that's the team name. So basically, we're the home base Redskins. That's just not okay with me, and therefore it needs to change. It's great. Yes, you have a lot of history. You're a team that's been around for ages. That's great. A lot of teams have changed their names. It's time to get a new one. Okay. It's reached that point. So, Washington Redskins, absolutely the most offensive and needs to go.
Agreed.
Moving
Agreed.
On. This is our final topic of the night, but I think it could be the most fun of them all. We decided to have a little bit of fun, talking about jerseys and this group here. We love to debate. Russ twirling around in his Jets jersey. Russ, you really should have asked Paul and I if you could wear that because we kind of own everyone with that team. So I'm going to have to ask for at least some kind of compensation.
I do not recognize your authority.
But we're going to do jerseys. The top three, and we chose to stick strictly to right now, not all time, just right now, the top three alternate jerseys and the bottom three alternate jerseys as chosen by this committee. And I will I'll lead it off here. I'll give you my top three, and then we'll go around, and then we can sweep back around to the bottom three. My top three, in no particular order. Number one for me, the Carolina Hurricanes, the Canes jerseys, or strictly if they just want to wear the Hartford Whaler jerseys. Because if you ask me, they did something right when they made that jersey, and unfortunately, they did something wrong when they stopped wearing that jersey. It's one of the coolest. I know for a fact Paul has a sweater of it. I've got a hat of that jersey, and it's just – it's a logo that I truly, truly enjoy. Number two for me, Jay, you can make a face, make a claim, be upset all you want. The New England Patriots red jerseys with the white helmet, I like them. I think they look classic. I think they look like what old-school football jerseys would have looked like. I enjoy it, and I'm going to look forward to seeing them wear them this year, even though it's not going to be Tom Brady wearing one. And lastly – you guys can think I'm crazy. I know my wife did when I told her this. My number one alternate jersey is actually the Seattle Seahawks neon jerseys that they wear. I like them. I think they're awesome looking. I think they're super cool. And I put it on there as a Russell Wilson neon jersey. Top on my list of purchases for a jersey. And then my honorable mention goes to, for anybody that, I don't know if anybody here ever played N64, played a little game called NBA Hang Time, where you could catch on fire after making one bat or two baskets in a row. But the Milwaukee Bucks old school jerseys, where the actual deer is on the jersey, retro, super cool, super awesome to look at. And it reminds me of, they have a literal deer,
like there's antlers like coming out of their chest.
He's on that jersey. But that for me is the honorable mention for a super cool jersey for that. So Russ, over to you. Your top three jerseys.
So my top three, the first one is the Saints color rush unis, the whites with the gold letters. And part of it is because it has accomplished the Herculean task of being a decent color rush uni. The rest of them can go to hell. I hate the program. It's a cool idea, and it's executed absolutely terribly. You don't need to look like you're wearing a leotard. It kills me. It covers, literally, the NFL uniform covers from the top of your head all the way down to your feet. Your arms, some of your arms is the only thing. Mix up the colors a little bit. That's all I'm really asking for you. But the fact that the Saints make it look good gets them on there. The next one is not the Jets, but the Flames retro ones. The ones where they don't have any black. The nice, clean red and yellows. That should be their primetime uni. That the red, the white, that should be full-time. The black ones are kind of garbage. I'm done with them. I'm done with the side panels. And then my last one, and it's not just because I love the drink, but it's the Astros Tequila Sunrise uniforms. The one with the orange stripes coming up, it's unique, it's creative, it's kind of that quirky old-school feel to it. It's what baseball feels like, and I love it. And I
all
love
right, absolutely. Jay, moving over to you now, top three
that's
jerseys.
That's what makes it one of the best for me.
We forgot to tell Russ that he can use his safe word at any point in time when we're talking about jerseys and color combinations, because this is his love language right here.
No, I will pass out from pleasure.
Well, if I want to please you a little bit more, I also had Calgary on my list for those flaming hot reds. Their basic home jerseys have a little bit of a softer red. This is a bright red. It is sensory overload to your face. So when I was shitting on Calgary earlier, I love that uniform. It is one of my favorite. That red, I don't know what beaver you're showing me right now, Eric, but that red is pretty close to it. My second favorite one, Nike did a city edition for the NBA, and one of the best alternate jerseys in the NBA right now.
It was the Nike city edition.
You guys
Nike
look at me like
NBA.
I was speaking a different language right now. You know what I'm talking about?
All right.
Yes, I did. Get 2020, new me, quarantine me. Miami Heat have a typical 1980.
Don't do it. You're a young lad.
Why
you have your whole
are you
life
waving
in
the
front
flag
of you,
on me, Eric?
Oh, God.
You picked the Seattle Greens. You have forfeited your rights.
The floor doesn't recognize you, Eric. Miami Heat, Nike City Edition. It encompasses the city of Miami from the 1980s. It reminds me of Grand Theft Auto Vice City. It reminds me of Dwayne Wade. It reminds me of Chris Bosh, not the other guy who was a part of that three-headed monster. Miami's jerseys were just disgustingly perfect. I loved that color. This is going to probably surprise all of you, but my number one top alternate jersey, it's classy. It is clean. It removes a primary color from their color scheme and simples it down. It is a hockey team. It is the Columbus Blue Jackets. Perfect, like off-white, crisp jerseys with just a nice clean blue on the sides. It gets rid of the red. They shouldn't have red in their jerseys. It's the white. It's not a white. It's like an off-white. It's like a creamsicle white. And they got the cannon. They got the cannon blowing in your face. It is just a clean.
All right,
jersey.
All right. I like
number
it.
One
well,
best alternative.
He's waited long enough. We've watched his reaction through it all. Paulie, your top three alternate jerseys right now in sports.
All right, so yeah, I did cheat because I put both like right now and all time, but for right now, if we're just gonna stick to that. So my number three is probably the Tampa Bay Lightning blackout jerseys, where everything is black or slightly darker black. I think it's just pretty dirty. And they don't, I don't think, I can't remember when they wore them last, but I think it's just a pretty, you know, awesome look to go with. It's something different from that astounding blue that they have. Number two, I have the Anaheim Ducks, the orange ones, where like the base color is orange and then it has their symbol. Purely just for, like, the screaming orange that it has, because no other team really has that much. Like, I mean, granted, the flame and stuff, like the red and orange, but, like, not that much. That's just right there in your face orange. And then I'm going to steal Eric's, of course, for number one.
All right. Well, I like them. Those are some good picks right there. I actually, I almost wanted to ask the question, how do you get a darker black than black? But apparently that might be doable in the way of the Tampa Bay Lightning. Slightly darker black. Yeah, apparently.
A slightly darker black.
Okay, well, Paul, you gave us your top three. Now, right back to you.
If you watch Archer, it explains
the ones that you
vaguely.
Just say, get the heck out of here. Okay.
No.
So forgive me, but I broke from right now and did all
I love rule breaking.
Because it makes for way better conversation. And here's why. So I have a bottom three, but I also have honorable mentions I'm going to do first, if that's okay. So, first up on the honorable mentions for being the worst, the big Ottawa O. It may be a big O for them, but not for me. Next, the California, was like the Dallas Stars, like way back when, the California Seals. And I know, but it's so bad that it's kind of good, but bad. Because they almost look like the Chargers. On their shoulders, they have, like, this light blue, and then they have, like, a yellow lightning bolt, actually, I think, and then seals right in the chest. It's so hideous, but it's bad. So it's the bottom three. It's in the honorable mentions, the bottom three. And then this other one, because I don't really, I mean, I get it, but it just, like, kind of looks trashy.
Oh, the fish
the Islanders jersey with the fisherman on it, where it's, like, that really weird blue, orange, swoopy bottom, uneven line. Like, it's just weird. So anyway, that's my honorable mentions. So I won't spend too much time on them. I'll get to number three. Number three is the 2003 to 2006
All-Stars
jersey with the bull on it. It's like, I don't know if it's a constellation, and I don't know if it's supposed to be Taurus or what, but it's the bull, and it's like this black, dark green and red, and then like the gold or yellow lining in there. And it was so bad, it actually got a nickname called the Mooterus. And Mooterus, what does that sound like? Uterus. Because if you look in any anatomy textbook and look at what a uterus looks like, the bull and its horns are shaped up like the fallopian tubes
that's
up to the ovaries, and
now.
It looks
Thank
like
you.
A uterus. So congratulations. That was a hideous jersey. Number two is an absolute eyesore, and it's the 2009 Montreal throwback jerseys, where it's repeated red, white, blue lines all over the place, head to toe. And it has a leaf on it, which is confusing because they're not the Toronto Maple Leafs. They're the Montreal Canadiens. And you just Google it right now so you can actually get like a good taste of this if you can't remember it, because it is hideous. Absolutely hideous. Number one, and this is both of their jerseys, the Vancouver yellow, black, and red jerseys. I don't know if they are trying to direct because with those giant down-pointing arrows, because it comes in yellow as a big base color, or it's yellow, or yellow and black, and then like the red and whatever within the arrow itself. But they're either directing airplane traffic or they want to make it obvious where they are in laser tag. I don't know. But they're the most hideous jerseys ever. I don't understand what they're going for.
Do you watch, the Masked Singer?
And that's my number one. Bottom three.
You are reminding me a lot of Ken Jeong right now with your interpretations of things. Yes. You are all about knowing the answer.
I do.
Except you're right. Yes. All right. So moving on, Jay. Your bottom three so all-time
except
jerseys.
I'm right.
Or not all. Your bottom three current jerseys.
So I too had special congratulations to go out to the Islanders with the fishermen. Fuck that. You don't have a fisherman on your jersey. So, Paul, I appreciate you for putting that on there. I'm going to start with the thing that's showing up in my video chat that you can see right now. The creamsicle color that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are trying to use right now, this hey, we look like Clemson or maybe even Tennessee on a cloudy day. Get the no, that is disgusting. You're Tampa Bay, you're Pirates. You have a ship in your stadium. Ooh, we're orange, we're white, we're sleek, we're flat. No, get we have a point of contention. Russ, hit me with it.
You know that's not actually their uniform, right?
No, these are the alt. These are the alts. These are the alternate ones.
No, it's not. They came out with their new ones this year, and that was a rumor that was not confirmed.
I have
and the team
been
did not
bamboozled.
Do it. They have a red, they have a white, they have a pewter. You have been bamboozled.
All right, well, I have a backup shitty uniform, so I'm glad we've resolved this problem. I've wasted 7 seconds of everyone's brain cells. I apologize. We'll take them out of the equation. Let's switch gears. Let's move over to the NBA real quick. Nike also did a city edition for the Washington Wizards. They look like the Washington penises. If you look at the logo, it's practically a silhouette of a penis on their chests. So Washington is still screwing up. If you go look, I don't even know what they're trying to do. It looks like maybe the abbreviation of the city. There's a penis on the Washington Wizards Nike uniform. So the city edition. So I'm out on those jerseys. My backup plan on a backup jersey I'm doing here, I'm going with the city edition also for the Detroit Pistons. Only for the sheer fact, and I think Russ has even mentioned this before, if you go down from the side and you go to the waist and you go down to the knees, nothing lines up. You've got lines on the center of your chest like you just got ran over, and then you've got lines on your hips. I like uniformity. I like show me the road. Show like where it's about a car, right? You can't drive a car on this uniform. Looks like shit. My last uniform that I do not like. I already don't like the Oakland Athletics. They made an alternate jersey. It's even worse than their normal jersey. It looks like anything you could pick up from Joe Schmo's local sports goods and wares, and you can get a custom like We Are South Farmington on the front and a swoosh underneath it and a slap on your ass out the door. It is worse than their normal jerseys.
Jay, are you talking about the Wizards ones where it's just the DC on the front?
Those blow. I'm out on Oakland. Goodbye.
Well, you know what I mean, though. Yes.
Yeah, it looks like no, it's not DC. It's a penis.
No, I'm with you.
Have you seen the Washington Monument?
I'm with you.
Yes.
All right.
Also,
Russ, over to you. Your bottom three alternate yes. jerseys. Fair enough.
So I'm about to not make some sense. I just want to first thank Justin for completing the cycle for me so that all three of the ones I'm about to mention have now been mentioned by one of you. Justin and I are the only ones that agree that the Pistons Reds are awful. My other two were made the top list for some other people. But the Pistons Reds are so bad. Just not to take away from the stripe thing, but what bothers me even more is that the stripe goes straight through the numbers. So you lose track of the numbers. And the awful white text goes straight through it, which is illegible and looks like you hit random on the create a jersey customization screen. That's how bad this jersey is. Plus, you're either a red team or you're a blue team, and when you cross that line over, it looks bad, right? Like 80% of pro sports teams are either red or blue. You can't have both and then switch over. It breaks your identity. But my other two are the Tampa Bay Blacks. I'm not a fan of gradients in uniforms. I'm not a fan of a team that scrubbed black from their identity, right, to make them just blue and white and be Maple Leaf clones, just to bring it all back in one uniform. You get to have one or the other. You don't get to scrub black from everything you do and then bring it back in what looks like a sweatsuit. And then the last one is the Seattle Action Greens, as they call it, because it literally hurts my eyes to look at it. You shouldn't all be the same color, period. You shouldn't all be the same color that makes my optometrist more money. He's doing well enough. He doesn't need more. They're painful. I like their blues. I like their grays even. I don't like the monocolor look, especially when it's that loud. But
all right. Well, I will finish it off for us. My bottom three, and two have been mentioned so far. One's a little bit of a surprise. I'm with Paul, the Ottawa Senators jerseys. The Ottawa Senators just in general. But the Ottawa Senators jerseys, not a fan. Time to get rid of them. They don't make sense. Number two. Correct me if I'm wrong here. Justin mentioned these jerseys last week in the discussion of having fun. And those are the Pittsburgh Steelers honeybee jerseys. That's what I'm calling them. Listen, I'm sure at some point back in the history of Pittsburgh, these were considered fashionable. But your starting quarterback weighs 360 pounds and has a beer gut. Stripes don't work for him. Plus, this thing looks like they were created, honestly, these things look like they were created on a Madden create a team by someone who's colorblind or just blind. So for me, Pittsburgh Steelers honeybee jerseys don't work. Don't like them. Now the one that, and literally this is shows you how far ahead I'm thinking. I literally wrote in my notes a few days ago when I wrote this over, might catch a little crap for this one. The Miami Heat's Miami Vice jerseys.
Me too.
These look like something that would have been seen in the background of a Miami Vice episode or the cover of Grand Theft Auto. Listen, Miami, those red and black jerseys,
they
look good. They're classic. They're straightforward. You know what you're getting. You don't need to alter it by putting neon blue in there. It's just not meant to be. I'm not a fan. They need to get rid of them. Kind of like Paul, I had an honorable mention, and the honorable mention for me is the LA Rams yellow with blue trim. The jerseys look like someone's urine who's severely dehydrated. This person needs to drink water. It's literally gold yellow. It doesn't work. Looks terrible. Do not like them. Go back to the blue and gold. Go back to the greatest show on turf jerseys. They may be dated, but you know what? You had a lot of success when you wore those jerseys. Time to go back to them. Russ?
To that point, they did just release their new unis. They did not go back to the old stuff, but they did have shiny gradient numbers that are god-awful.
Listen, we're coming from a team. We're speaking from the perspective of a team that you had no black in your logo, yet somehow we had black jerseys for a while there. They were terrible. They looked awful. But we still wore them way more than we should have. There are teams that did it right at one point, and then they decided to walk away. You need to go back, Rams. Go back to those St. Louis blue and gold jerseys. They worked for you. You were successful with them. There's no need to mess with it. You guys look like you're trying to make U of M jerseys, and it's just not happening. Like something went wrong. You just couldn't get the rights to the right color, and it's just not happening for you. So you need to go back. But, Jay, your Miami Vice jerseys are awful. Go.
Sure. One quick thing. Can we have a very short roundtable on something? Can we all agree that the best alternate uni of all time in all existence happens in the NHL?
I mean, probably, but which one are you thinking?
That would be the but it's Arizona's throwbacks.
Oh, the Kachina jerseys. They are solid. Yes. Yeah. Especially the white ones.
It beats the Whalers. Any jersey. This is the jersey of all jerseys for all sports for me. It is the Arizona.
So why didn't it make your list of top three? They wore the blacks as an alternate this season.
Okay.
Nah, I didn't want it.
I had to do a quick look just to make sure I was.
It's my new.
I will go down that rabbit hole with you. That those are some. I still don't think they beat Hartford, but I like them. They're very good. I do like them. They're maybe not as good as the Hartford Whalers, though. Whalers are just, they did something right when they made those jerseys.
Yeah, I've got them top three. I just like the cleanness, the pop of color from the Flames retro. Like, if you're looking at the Coyotes throwback on a stand, stationary, oh, it looks great. There's so much going on that just melds together. It brings in the history of the community. It's beautiful. On the ice, a lot of that falls away. So it's tougher to see a lot of the beauty of it during a game.
Yeah. The only thing that would make the Arizona jerseys better, Jay, is Flames if they added a little more teal. Just a little more teal.
Get out. You're lucky I didn't bring them up today. They're lucky they live next to the ocean because that's the reason why the shark snuck through. Assholes.
You should see how high their jerseys rank and some of the like jersey rank websites. I just happened to look at to see if they shared any of our, you know, thoughts about this. The Sharks are pretty high up there, and you'd be very upset to see that.
We're gonna end it on
that.
Sharks have a very high ranked jersey. That's gonna do it for us here on Armchair Sports Talk. We appreciate you sticking with us. This has been a long one, had a lot to get through, but I think we did it pretty well. Special thanks to our buddy Dio Pauly Rowe. I see him right now. He's looking good. He's looking great, and did a great job today on the show, buddy. There you go, Sergeant
Happy
Salty.
To be on,
very
as always,
salty
thank
this
you guys.
Week, and
do it again next week.
I'm not gonna lie. I hope you looked into that crystal ball and you saw that Lions record correctly. But let's just all be ready to suffer through this one together. But as always, we appreciate it, buddy.
Love them for. This is the year of happiness and sunshines and rainbows.
I like the thought process. The first half of the year sucks, so the second half has to be phenomenal. I'm with you. Rusty, you're the best co-host I can ask for. Statman, you make most everybody on this show sound a lot smarter than they really are, and I appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate the praise. It's anytime you want to talk about jerseys, I'm here for it. Anytime you want to have Jay somehow pick the Lions to be way better than any of the rest of us do, I guess I'm here for it. I'm shocked. This is another catastrophe that 2020 has brought us, maybe? I don't know.
There you go. And
we'll see what happens. I had fun this week, though.
is that your safe word?
Yeah, my safe word is
2020. And as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. I am rapidly working on a bet I can make that will come to my favor that the Lions probably won't go 12-4, but still, Jay, I'm going to make this bet. I'm going to make it work out easily for both of us. But as always, I'm your host, Eric Dorsch. That's one small step for us, one giant leap back in Detroit sports broadcasting.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. May God have mercy on your soul.